This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This BFM Budget 2022 special is brought to you by Ma Sing.
8:37 in the morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, together with Philip C. and Wong Xiaoning. We're turning our attention to Budget 2022 now, because in the run-up to the budget this Friday, we're asking stakeholders of different economic sectors on their needs in the post-pandemic recovery. Yesterday, we spoke to Tan Hai Sin of Retail Group Malaysia. You can check out the podcast Retail Wishlist, No More Lockdowns. Today, though, we're checking in with the oil and gas sector, specifically the perspective of the Oil and Gas Services and Equipment Players, or OGSE.
Now, the price of Brent crude has rallied to over $80 per barrel recently, and this trend will have an impact on investment decisions for the future. At the same time, there is this global shift to sustainable energy, which does pose an existential threat to the overall sector in the longer term. Is the Malaysian industry, however, prepared for this eventuality, and will this be reflected in this year's budget?
So today we speak to Sharifah Zaida Norlisha, President of the Malaysia Oil and Gas Services Council, also known as MOGSI, for her views. Good morning, Sharifah. Thank you for speaking with us today. Let's talk about the market overall. Oil prices have been hitting multi-year highs over the past few weeks. In your view, are these levels sustainable, and what factors could dampen the rally?
Well, the high oil prices will not be sustainable in the long run, but it will be staying for a while. And this is because of the lack on low investment over the last few years, first due to the drop of the oil price, and then followed by the lack of demand due to COVID. If the operators continue with the minimal investments, obviously the high oil price will be prolonged, and that will be good for the OGST sector. Factors that would probably dampen the rally would be geopolitical, production of OPEC and other countries, oversupply of other new sources like shale, low demand due to situations such as COVID, and of course, this cannot be left unsaid, global adoption to the Paris Agreement, which is cutting back on fossil fuels and carbon emissions. And this will be one of the key factors that will be dampening the rally.
What are the implications of high oil prices for the Malaysian oil and gas sector? Which industries or services stand to benefit?
If the higher investment will return, then probably the upstream sector, the exploration, development, production will benefit. Although I say that with caution, because of course all this will be long-term planning and things like that. But if the oil price is perceived to be staying long or high for a bit of time, then obviously the investment will return to the upstream. And Petronas have declared that they will be spending 20 billion of capex annually for the upstream in the next 5 to 7 years. So obviously then the overall OGSE sector will stand to benefit, when more projects will become more commercially viable and it will come online. And of course, the high oil prices will also put dividends in the government's coffers as income from the oil and gas increases. But again, with all this being said and done, we hope, MOGSI hopes, that the banks will look at the oil and gas industry more favorable, because I think the current way that the banks are moving is towards sustainability and ESG and things like that. Now, we need to actually be careful when we do that, and we need to balance between the need of the country and the need, the global challenges, and we need to make sure that Malaysia remains sustainable.
Now, Sharifah, I think most of us identify the oil and gas sector with Petronas, but there is actually an entire ecosystem of businesses known more specifically as the OGSE. Can you help us give some context on this, please?
I think that's where the issue is. A lot of people do not understand what OGSE means. OGSE is Oil and Gas Services and Equipment. And the sector actually spans across from downstream to upstream and anywhere in between. So if you want to think about constructing a platform, managing the production and things like that, just imagine all the supply chain that helps to produce that. How do you transport? How do you evacuate the crude? How do you actually treat the crude to actually go into the supply, to up to the downstream? So anything in between. Now, the problem with OGSE sector is that because it spans such a wide range, some of the sectors actually falls under different ministries, like transportation, like construction, like even trade. So that's why the others actually fall through the crack. And we call that the OGSE services equipment. We do not have a ministry to actually go to. So it's not just Petronas and PTTEP, ExxonMobil, Shell, they're all, we call them our stakeholders. They are the one who gives out the projects. But who does the project? It's people like us, people on the ground, the contractors. So we are talking about helping the contractors that's in pain currently down there in the ecosystem. Now, if we continue to be in pain, then how can the contractors support the stakeholders to actually deliver whatever they want to do?
So bearing this in mind then, what would you like to see in budget 2022 that would benefit oil and gas players, particularly the OGSE?
Wish list. We've sent this wish list every year. We actually provided this list after having an engagement with Yang Berhormat, Finance Minister in Kerteh, when he was doing a road tour in Kerteh last year. Again, it's very important that you recognize the OGSE sector to go into this wish list. If not, a wish list becomes just a wish list, and it becomes a wish list every single year. So some of the things that we would like to have: setting up R&D fund for the OGSE industry to tap in, targeted financial assistance to groom, support SMEs and mid-tier companies. Now, not just SMEs, but you have these mid-tier companies that are also struggling. Now, if the mid-tier companies fall, then you have to start all over again. So you're losing all these capabilities and skill sets that you've already groomed for the number of years that they've been operating, especially in adopting digitalization and new technologies, grants for expert technology adoption, incentives for companies practicing green ESG, because that's the buzzword at the moment, tax relief to assist sectors recovery, cash liquidity, some kind of infrastructure to have capital out there for us to have access to, banks to be more supportive of OGSE, not treat us like a dirty word, you know, because gas is still the energy transition moving forward for the next at least 50 years, and tax fiscal incentives to get more operators to enter the oil and gas industry to spur the investments, and consistent capex and opex throughout the year instead of cyclical spending. This will help the services company to plan long-term investment. I mean, if this the capex becomes cyclical, then we become cyclical, and we need to sustain. And of course, we need to have a voice up to the ministry, because we need to also influence the policies that's being derived for the OGSE sector, and that's custom-made for the OGSE sector.
How are Malaysian oil and gas players, including OGSE, navigating the global transition to renewable energy sources? What kind of policy direction would be helpful?
Well, it's not so much of a policy direction. It's about including the inclusiveness of the OGSE sector in terms of the policy direction. Now, I think we are part of the, I think MPRC under with EPU is developing a sustainability roadmap, and we will be part of that and contributing our ideas. But the Malaysian oil and gas companies are conscious of this global transition. We know that we are moving to renewable, but some of the technologies are still some distance away to make it feasible and can be used. What we can do is we are raising this awareness to the industry, and we even have this alternative working group where we're exploring what are the alternative energies and renewable energy that is currently being used and what can be used for Malaysia. Now, that is very important. And some of the OGSE companies have started to expand and diversify their portfolio to support the renewable energy sector, especially because of the low activity in the oil and gas sector, obviously, for the last few years. Not only the policies in terms of the national energy, but the bank's policies in terms of addressing ESG. We need to be there. They need to understand that OGSE have different requirements, and we need to build that trust with that banks so that we can sustain. As simple as that.
Sharifa, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Sharifa Zaida Nurlisha, President of the Malaysia Oil and Gas Services Council, speaking to us about the budget list wish list that the OGSE has, as well as just other factors and other considerations to bear in mind as we look at this energy transition that the world is going through.
Yeah, I think it's undeniable, right? Petronas themselves, they've declared a target of achieving net zero carbon emissions by 2050 that will guide all their capex spending. So I guess all the oil and gas companies, engineers, companies that support them have to also make that transition whether they like it or not.
But I guess the how is important. How are we going to do that? Are we just going to let a lot of companies fall by the wayside? Or are we going to do it in a concerted and helpful way for the broader
economy?
Maybe
we might see a lot more mergers and acquisitions then in this space.
Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
This BFM Budget 2022 special was brought to you by Ma Sing. Reinvent spaces. Enhance life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.